Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey.
Conversations. Yep. We are back with the same cast. You should know us already. Okay, so.
But if you don't.
But if you don't.
But if you don't, my name is Jello. We got Jemison on my left.
Yeah.
And this time we got Gerard next to him.
Hello.
Yeah, something different. And then to my right, we got Guada.
Hello, everyone.
And to her right is Cheyenne.
I'm cold.
She's cold. That's why they moved. Okay. Right. So this episode, we're going to be talking about leadership. And I think this world is in dire need for good leadership. Because that, what Jemison said before this episode was, leaders
pave the way.
Pave the way.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Leader. No. build the future or something.
That's
like that.
It. Pave the way, build the future.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Everybody
so.
Leaders lead.
Leaders lead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's and I think people need someone to take after.
Yeah.
Because I think right now, the people influencing right now are not good influencers. Okay, so. First question is, what is a good leader?
What is a good leader?
Yeah.
You know all about it, mate.
I'd say a good leader is a person of vision. Mm-hmm. A person who understands responsibility.
Yeah.
A person who understands the people that they're leading. Yeah. You know, they're not behind the team, pushing them forward, but they're in front of the team, saying, "Come with me. Yeah. You're with me on this. I'm not dictating you. I am facilitating for you. Also leading by example." Yeah. I'd say there is a lot to say about good leadership, but if I was to narrow it down, I'd say that would be key things.
Yeah. What are the traits you reckon, you guys? So I'm talking with a table full of leaders. So what is a good leader?
Five leaders.
Yeah.
Including you.
Okay. Yeah, so what is a good leader?
as well as like influential but also inspirational. Mm-hmm. Like you inspire people to like
be like them.
Yeah. When someone's like passionate about something and you can tell they really love it. Mm. It encourages me to love the same thing the way that they do, because like, you know, they have that glint in their eye and just, yes, it's just very inspiring. Like my guitar teacher, Leia, she's so nerdy about music and like it, like to the point it inspires me to just want to know more and not just listen to her, but like do my, like listen to the stuff that she listens to and stuff like that. So I think being passionate about the vision as well and like someone who inspires others, I feel is a good
zealous.
It is like a characteristic and a trait of a good, great leader.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
That's really good, guys.
Yeah.
It's really good. Apart from that, I think when leaders are driven, like nothing is stopping them from their vision, from the goal, and it's always doing as much as they talk about it, but like really doing what they talk about. I think that's one thing that I really look up to with Pastor Chris, is that she's very driven. She's a driven woman, and there are so many times she could have quit, but she kept going. Nothing stopping her from the vision that God has given her. So it's very, very inspirational, I would say.
Yeah. I think an aspect that hasn't been touched on yet is the ability to connect with people.
Yes, yes.
So I had a conversation with a friend about different styles of leadership. And so they used to come to our church, and then now they've gotten a taste of different styles of leadership. And they were saying it was so jarring because the leadership that they were used to was all about results, evangelism, you know, push forward, and faith, you know, boot campy type things. But then they were exposed to a different style of leadership where their goal was to connect and see if you're doing okay. And they were like, whoa. Like, they were so impacted by that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there was that aspect that they were not receiving. And I think that's what is part of a good leader.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. they are able to come alongside you.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to just tell you to come up. They are able to come alongside you and lift you up. What do you guys reckon, Gerard?
Amen. Biblically, 1 Timothy 3. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. So yes and amen to all of that. And I think personally, one trait that I really like in leaders, and I want to be like that, is transparency and accountability. Say, you know, at work there's like a job that needs to be done and it's due by a certain date and everyone's freaking out. The leader would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. That's poor management on my side. I should have delegated this earlier. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So that extreme accountability, saying, if something goes wrong, I'll take the hit. Mm. I'll take the hit for it. So that is what I like to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about the line of thought that says, if you show your weakness as a leader, would that impact how people, like people's respect level for you?
I think, so I'm a big believer in like testifying after something that's happened. So you don't show, you only show certain people your wounds, right? But you can show everyone else the scars. Yeah, so, so I wouldn't tell like Bo, who's like my little brother at church, I wouldn't tell him that I'm struggling financially and that type of thing, right? I'm not going to tell him that because he's a kid and he doesn't need to hear that. Yeah. But I can go to Jamison and be like, hey, bro, like, I need some prayer. I'm really struggling financially. Can we pray? That type of thing. You know what I mean? So I can show the scars, saying like, oh, but if he hits me up one time and says like, oh, you know, Kuya, I'm just stuck in a rut. I don't think I can. I want to help my family pay bills, but I'm just not earning enough money to do that. And then I can show him my scars, be like, I was in the same position before, and this is what God did for me, right? So showing weakness, you can definitely do that, but do it intentionally with people that you trust and someone who's, you know, in a higher position. For example, the Holy Spirit, obviously. So tell the Holy Spirit, like, you can just be so raw with God. Like, in the last episode, we were talking about wilderness seasons. And I pulled out a verse from Psalm 13 where David is freaking out, just being so raw with God. Like, how long are you going to hide yourself from me? So if we take that same sort of thing, that same attitude to our weaknesses, and we're vulnerable with God, there's strength that happens. So 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when you're weak, you're strong because it's Christ's power working in you.
Yep.
So weakness is fine. Everybody has them, but you need to go to the Lord about that. So yeah.
Yeah. So Jamison, you said that there were a lot of traits of a good leader. Can you expand?
I think we covered it all, to be honest.
We covered it all.
That last one you spoke about, I think is, I don't know why I didn't say it, but to me it was actually the biggest thing, is being able to connect, because, you know, you don't want to follow someone that you can't relate to.
Yeah.
You know, and a leader has their people is within their best interest.
Yeah.
It's not self-gratification. gratification or building themselves up. It's to build the people, to build the community. Jesus came to build a kingdom.
Yeah.
That's why he came for the lost. That's why he came for the sick, for the broken, you know. And Jesus, he demonstrated that to the highest degree. Like, it was so beautifully done. So obviously he's a king, like he's the highest of kings, but he came down to the lowest, the absolute lowest, because he said that there's value in you. Mm. You're a valuable person, and he made a way to connect with people. He broke bread with people in their houses. You know, he was all about connecting. Mm. So in terms of traits, I think to me that's the highest of trait, along with everything that was, you know, listed here in Timothy. Mm. But yeah, I think, well, pretty much all the traits were covered. So to answer your question, I don't really have anything else to add to that.
Someone that I really like the leadership of is my manager. And hopefully she doesn't listen to this. But yeah, like, I feel that she is kind of like a cover for us. Because she reports to the higher-ups about how the office is doing. And she'll take the responsibility.
Yeah.
She won't blame us if, like, there's something going on. So I feel like a good leader, another trait of a good leader is they take responsibility.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the person that is the leader is the one that takes the most responsibility in any situation. So, like, in a social situation, the leader is someone that is taking responsibility of where the group is going to go. But if you're there to just coast, you can't be, you know? And I think that's something that you and Guada are quite good at.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. You're taking responsibility in regards to connecting people. And, like, it comes across in your ability to host parties, host gatherings, host everything. And I think that's a trait of a good leader. Like, they take responsibility. They aren't so quick to pawn off responsibility on someone else because it's hard. And it is hard. Like, so let's talk about the difficulties we've experienced in leadership and how you overcome that.
I think one of the biggest difficulties is not having an answer for everything for when people need it.
Mm.
I'm talking about, like, in the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And the way to overcome that is obviously coming to God.
Yeah.
And like what Gerard was saying, like, being transparent, like, look, man, I actually don't know the answer to that. Mm. You know, not trying to fake it till you make it type thing. I'm just being real with them. Like, look, you know what? Let's find out together.
Mm.
Let's, give me some time. I'll look into it for you.
Yeah.
And I'll get back to you. I'll do my best to give you an answer.
Yeah.
But I think the challenge of having this burden of wanting to know everything for everything, I guess. I don't know if that's, if you guys relate to that. But as a person who has a heart to teach, it's like my level of knowledge and wisdom is finite. It's, you know, so I got to come to God.
Mm.
But yeah, just for me, not having the answers for everything, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So if people were to ask me, like, really difficult questions that I haven't come across before, without preparation, that's something that is, like, I find challenging.
Yeah, I can relate with that, because, like, I used to feel that my intellect is not adequate, and there are people that I'm afraid to go near because it will expose how stupid I am.
Yes, I feel that.
Yeah, and, like, as a result, they felt neglected.
Yeah,
and then they left church, and then as you said, we don't know everything, but the one who's in us knows everything.
Amen.
And he makes us look wise. So
that's
yeah.
It, yeah.
Any other struggles and overcoming?
One thing that I constantly try to wrap my head around, is, like, am I supposed to be a leader?
Mm.
Yeah. Just being super candid, hey. So, like, when I was told I was going to be a trainee leader, I was like, all right, all systems go, let's do this thing. And then slowly but surely, responsibilities kept heaping up, and then I was like, man, can I actually do this thing? And it came to a point in my life where I felt the weight of being a leader. Like, I felt like everybody was watching me. Anything that I say has influence, so I have to be careful with who I hang around. And ultimately, just feeling like I'm trapped in a box and I can't be me, because there's this expectancy of what a leader looks like in the church.
Mm.
And it became so difficult for me that I started questioning God's purpose for my life. And I felt like I missed the bus. I missed the mark of like being this great big evangelist that people have prophesied over me. And I'm like, God, like, I think I missed it. I feel like are you sure about this? Like, I definitely don't feel like I'm supposed to be an evangelist, God. Like I look at my results and stuff in terms of leading people to the Lord. It's like, at that point it was like one a year. I was like, man, like how am I going to lead thousands to people when I've led one person in 365 days? Mm. You know what I mean? So I was like that. And I always, because the word says that I'm going to have to give an account, I felt the pressure of that as well. Mm. And I was like, man, like I need to kick it into gear, bro. Like, I'm freaking out. I need to get somebody saved. And that was the wrong heart attitude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Completely. Just because I didn't want God to tell me, to on judgment day, ask me, did you do what I told you? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was freaking out about that. And I was, and my partner, she's like, are you okay? She saw through the facade. She asked if I was okay, and I just started breaking down. I was like, I'm freaking out. Like, I feel like I missed it, everything that I just said. And then she started crying, and she's like, you really think that Jesus, the first thing he's going to do is ask you, did you do what I told you? You really think that's the first thing he's going to tell you when you get up there? And then I was like, yeah. She's like, you don't think he's going to be giving you a hug and saying, I'm so glad that you're here? And I started crying. Oh, I'm getting emotional now. I started crying. And I was like, but the word says that I have to give an account, and I'm freaking out because I feel like I missed it. I haven't gotten anyone saved. She's like, and she was telling me, why are you thinking about that? Like, this love thing is supposed to ooze out of you. You don't hesitate when you're talking to someone about God, whether you get them saved or not, it's a seed. And then she's ministering to me, I'm crying. And then she was so hurt by the fact of like me putting all this pressure on myself as a trainee leader trying to live up to expectations, when the only expectation that Jesus has put on me is to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, everything that's within me, and love my neighbor as myself. Those are the only expectations that he has for me. And if I do that well, then everything else is going to come easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get that good and faithful servant. So, yeah, that is one thing, or a few things actually, that I struggled with as a leader. Shouts out to my fiance. Wow. Love you.
Fiance.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Can I add something onto that?
So just earlier this week, actually, I was wrestling with that exact same, like that thought, you know, I was beating myself up, almost like self-condemning, like I should be doing better than what I am doing now. And I was just having a moment with God, and he spoke to me, and he was correcting me with such love. And he said, I actually shared about this the other day. He said to me, like, your confidence shouldn't be in what you do for me. Your confidence should be in knowing what I've done for you. Mm-hmm. And it shifted my whole perspective, because then he then corrected me, saying, like, you know, you're now putting yourself in a position where it's performance based. Mm-hmm. You've then stepped out of the revelation of grace and knowing that I've died for you, so you don't have to feel this way. Mm-hmm. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. That's what it is. Like, you know, I was thinking, man, maybe I'm lacking. I'm not doing what I need to have done. You know, of course, there are times where we do need to correct ourselves, but this wasn't one of those moments. But I was somehow beating myself up. Yeah. And we need to be in a position where it's like, wow, God's love does not change based on our effort. It doesn't change based on, you know, what we do. His love is steadfast. It's eternal. It's always for us, unconditional. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that leaders are challenged with, is when they're not achieving, or when they don't think that they're achieving, then they feel like they're losing, they're failing, they're letting God down in a sense. I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but I know within myself, I can feel that way. You know, I'm letting XYZ down, you know, anything down, and you feel like a burden, and then you get into this spiral, and it's like, no, that's not how God sees you. In fact, he died for you, and he loves you. And the first thing is that you are his child before you are his servant. Mm. You're his child before you are before your purpose, before the reason why you're born. Yeah. And we need to be content with that. If there's anyone that's listening to this and feeling that way, just know that, you know, God's love isn't based on what you do for him, but it's based on what he's done for you. You know, he's loved you. Like, I can't even explain. I can't even put it to words, but he loves you so much. So don't ever beat yourself up thinking that you're not achieving what you should be doing, and basing that on God's love.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much along the same lines of, yeah, just an immense pressure of expectation. So from I look up to our leaders greatly. I respect them very much. And there was a point where it was like I almost worshipped them. Mm. Like I valued their praise more greatly than spending like quality and hearing what God has to say and quality time with God. Because it was something tangible that I could feel, but also a great fear of disappointing people is something that I struggled with, and sometimes, you know, still struggle with today. And and I think being a leader and the expectation of being one step ahead, being able to know exactly where you're going and answer all the questions that people have to ask and all these things, because people look to you as an example. And like it was very hard for me to accept that I can't be that person all the time. Have you heard of that savior complex? Like being able to want to fix the problem all the time, being able to, like, wanting to be the solution. Mm. I had that. I had that. and it's like, if I'm not fixing it, then I feel useless. Mm. I feel like I'm not, like, meeting the requirement of being a leader. But I'm not God. Mm. I'm not their savior. And if I... like my version of helping them, like in the long run, is like not helping them. Like right. Instead of them looking to God, praying to God, they're asking me to pray for them. They're asking me, they're seeking after me instead of God. And that's not my goal. And it shouldn't be. And at one point, like at first it felt like, oh yeah, okay, all good. Like it felt good. Because it felt like I was doing something, but then in the end, you get burnt out. Because I have my limits. God is unlimited. Mm. Holy Spirit is unlimited. So for me to put that expectation on myself to be able to provide for people, that's a struggle. Yeah. Yep. I do.
Yeah. How do you overcome that?
How do I overcome that? Just recently, like I'm yoked with him. Like, I can only do this if I'm yoked with him.
That's right.
All of this is only... everything is impossible unless I am yoked with him. Mm. This whole... It has to be by him. It has to be supernatural. Otherwise, I'm going to get burnt out. Like, that's guaranteed. Mm. I'm going to disappoint people. I can't please everyone. Mm. I don't have all the answers all the time, but Holy Spirit does. Mm. If I'm yoked with him, his yoke is easy and it's light. And if I'm experiencing anything other than that, that's an indicator of I'm not taking upon his yoke.
That's right.
I'm taking upon my own. I'm trying to do it my way.
That's right.
And after that verse, it says, learn from me. Mm. Learn from me. We're yoked with him to learn from him, to learn his ways, to learn the way that he does things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've experienced like imposter syndrome, just like I think a lot of us have, like all of us have, I feel. Like, I feel like I don't have anything to offer, to anything to put on the table, stuff like that. And it's discouraging because it's like, I want to, you know, I want to be a part.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's being a leader. It's not just taking a part, but it's like, I don't know. It's leading. but yeah, leading others to follow suit. Like when we're learning about like worship leading, it's like you can't take people, you can't show people the way to a place where you've never been. So that place of worship, yeah, so it's that as well, like that expectation. I'm saying outside of worship. Yeah, to know, to be able to know exactly where you're going, or even the best way, you know. So, anyways, I'll leave it at that because I want to hear what Guada has to say.
Yeah, same. But that was good.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Amen.
You guys already said what I wanted to say. What are you on about?
Please.
What was the question?
OMG.
Like, what's the struggle?
Oh, okay. What is the struggle? I think the biggest struggle for me, I feel like, it's pretty much the same as everyone, like meeting expectations. And when I don't meet expectations, I'm like really hard on myself. And I tend to keep that to myself, which is not good. Don't do that. Talk about. Meeting expectations. And I think also like seeing myself as a leader, that I really I think for the longest time I didn't see myself as a leader, and I kept questioning God, and I still do, why am I in this role? Like, I feel like, you know, I just want to be a church goer. I don't want to do exhortation or anything like that.
I feel that sometimes.
You know, honestly, sometimes I feel like that, but, you know, God always reminds me that he did not make a mistake. He's ordained the right leaders at the right time, at the right season. So, he did not make a mistake. Everybody here, he did not make a mistake. So there's a reason why he put us as leaders right now. Yeah. We might not have the answer to why God has put us into this time as leaders, but we will see. We will know. Hopefully soon. Yeah. But yeah, I still struggle. I still struggle with that, honestly, because I like my privacy. I like to do what I like to do, you know, without people watching me. And
yeah.
Accountability.
Oh.
Say that. I don't like accountability.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or responsibility.
Doesn't feel good in the moment, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it is.
When you see the fruit, it's like, wow, I was a part of that. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Definitely what they said. But yeah, I did. I like my privacy, and because I think I'm a bit goofy sometimes, and I say what I want to say, and I think I've definitely have offended a lot of people from what I say, because I say what I say sometimes, but you know, but honestly, I don't mean to. It's just the way, and I'm learning. I'm learning to think what to say. Hallelujah. Jesus is real.
Learners, not losers.
Learners, not losers, yeah. Definitely. And I gotta constantly remind myself that I am not perfect. As long as we're human, we're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna make mistakes, and that's okay. Because you can learn from your mistakes.
We've all got flaws.
Yeah, we all got flaws. So don't put pressure on your leaders, because they're not perfect.
Yeah.
They are not perfect, and they are not God.
Have mercy.
Okay?
Amen.
They are not God.
your leaders are humans too, so pray for them.
Yeah,
that's
pray
true.
For your leaders, because if you're going through something, your leaders are 110% going through something as well. So yeah, pray for your leaders, definitely. Mm. We need the prayers, hallelujah, because the leaders are in front. We are the one that's in front of the battlefield, you know, we're out there in the war with you guys. So yeah, anyhow, God is good.
Yeah.
He is continuously teach us.
Amen.
He
teach us.
That's not the word.
Teaching us.
Teaching us. Thank you guys for being patient.
Baby brain.
I'm also ESL, so thank you. He's continuously teaching us every day.
Yeah.
Again, we are also learning.
Yeah.
We are learners, not losers.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think to give everyone context, these four were like brought to the front and recognized as the leaders, like trainee leaders of the church. And so I think I come from a different perspective because I didn't have any of that. Like I didn't feel that I had to live up to anything. I didn't feel the pressure of now people are looking at me, blah, 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 because I was never there. It just sort of happened that with social media, oh, yeah, because I started it, you lead it. Oh, okay, yeah. So it's like I'm just continuing to do what I wanted to do. So in that sense, I have a different perspective. With all the imposter syndrome and wanting to live up to what God wants me to do, that has come naturally to me because He just gave me the desire to do something. And then it was simply do it. Like right now, He's given me the desire to connect with people and see how people are going. And that's something I want to do. It's not something that it's imposed on me. I've got to do. If I don't do it, I'm letting everyone down. It's something now I want to do. And then in terms of like influencing and making an impact, that's something that He's put on my heart to do. Maybe that was a blessing that I wasn't like brought to the front. Jello was a leader. Because I got to grow into the role as opposed to you got to live up to being a leader now. But yeah, my biggest struggle and what I've been learning to overcome is God really makes a vision so clear to me. And so like I'm filled with so much excitement to make it happen, but I can't do it on my own. Like I need a team. My biggest struggle is I wish I could multiply myself so I can like have multiple people that are as passionate about the vision that God gave me and do it with the same level of enthusiasm and excitement. And the reality is that I'm the one that received the vision, not everyone else. And so something I was struggling with before was I was getting offended that people I felt like people don't care about what's on my heart to do. Even with this social media stuff, I felt like there was not really much support from the people even above me. Like I was just doing it on my own and then eventually they came aboard. But yeah, that was a big hurdle for me because it was on my heart to do, but no one was doing it. And then eventually people started to come on board. And so that was the turnaround for me. What Pastor Paul was sharing with me. So Pastor Paul is like my dad, my spiritual father. And like what his analogy for me was, you're like a train and people attach their carts to you for a season. And then that will get you to where you need to go. And then eventually sometimes they break away, they go off on their own and do their own thing. And that's fine. That's a reality. And that's something he had to learn. And it was painful for him because he was like, what's wrong with these people? Like, they're not as on fire as me. And yeah, like, I could really feel the weight behind what he was saying. Like, it's fine. It's okay. And that's, people are with you for a season. And so I think for the people listening that God's put something on your heart and you're so passionate and you're discouraged that the people around you aren't as passionate about it as you, my advice to you is to go do it on your own with God, with God's direction and leading, and trust that He will provide the team. So you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and his way of doing things. And then he will add what you need. And God knows you need people. So he will add the people to you. So say like you're in church and you have a new initiative on your mind. You don't have the people. But you take that leading, you do things God's way, and he will add people. Like it won't, and it'll just work out, you know, especially if it's from God, it will work out. So yeah, any last words, any advice to the leaders on the other end?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Please do yourself a favor. If you're not already, like create a team. Have people around you that you trust, that aren't afraid to tell you no, and that are prayerful, that are faithful. And when you're having struggles, talk about it. The more that you talk about something, the more light that you bring to like a dark, like a secret, like a struggle, secret struggle, the more that God can shine on it. Right. If you reveal it, the less power it has over you. So a leader wouldn't be a leader if they didn't have anyone to follow them or to be part of a team. So be part of a team.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Got any advice?
Don't be afraid to talk about your problems. It's okay to go through stuff as a leader. So talk to someone, maybe your pastor or another leader in your team. You're not alone. Talk about what you're going through.
And also if you notice someone in your team that you have observed are struggling or not their usual self, just don't be afraid if you're going to offend them. Just bite the bullet. Just ask. Ask and pray. and offer to help if you can. Amen.
Yeah. And if you miss it, it's nice.
It's a nice gesture.
Yeah. Any advice?
Lead out of a position of humility and not pride. The heart of a leader, the core heart of a leader is servanthood. It's not about recognition. It's not about having influence for the sake of having influence, but it's about servanthood. Remain humble. And if you are struggling to remain humble, then come to God and ask him to help you humble yourself. Because then if you are out of pride, then you should not be a leader.
You're right. Any advice?
Let Jesus lead through you. It's so easy to be caught up in, you know, what you've been taught. And I'm not saying that what we've been taught has been bad, but I'm saying if there's situations in your leadership or your ministry, whatever you want to call it, and you don't know how to lead a certain a worship set, for example, or a youth group, a Bible study, you don't know how to be a leader. We have the greatest leader living within us. So we can always look to him, be like, Lord, I think I suck as a leader. Help me. Right? I really need help, Lord. Because to be fair, like, I don't think I'm a great leader in terms of like where I was before. And Jesus really had to like cement it in me that, Gerard, I'm leading through you. So if you're unsure about how to lead, you have the greatest leader living in you, and ask him.
That's right. I think my advice would just be do things God's way.
Amen.
And then it'll all work out in the end. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I think we should pray. And maybe Gerard. I think Gerard's got a prayer.
All right.
I think so too.
Do I? Just kidding.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Father. Father God, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship with our friend on the other line of this podcast. I thank you, Father, that you bless him in every which way. And Lord, the questions that they have in their hearts around leadership, Father. I thank you that you just love on them and teach them. And I pray for our friend on listening to this, Lord. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, and I remove that burden of living up to people's expectations in Jesus' name, looking to people for approval and the fear of man in Jesus' name, and the fear of making mistakes in Jesus' name. I speak to that, Father, and I just I remove that now off of our friend in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you work in their heart right now, even as we pray, even as they listen, even after the podcast, Lord, that you just work in them, and there's just this stillness about them and this confidence knowing that you're leading through them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you so empower them to be effective in their leadership. And Lord, just like you, you didn't do anything that you didn't see the Father do first, and you didn't say anything unless you heard the Father say it. So I pray that us leaders here do the same, and everyone else who is listening to this podcast does the same, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that revelation that people are looking to us to see Jesus. And so, Lord, when they look into our eyes, let them see you. When we speak, let them hear you. And when we do things, let it be as if you were the one doing them, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I remove that burden of being a leader. And I thank you, Lord, that the greatest of all is the servant of all. So, Lord, we just thank you for hearts of servants, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, thank you guys for listening, and see you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.